Think about the last time you had to cancel a subscription. There's probably some waiting on hold, some guessing at your password, some mind-numbing small talk. And maybe, after all of that, you still weren't able to cancel it. Good news, it doesn't have to be this way, thanks to Rocket Money. Rocket Money tracks, manages, and can cancel your subscriptions for you. When you connect your accounts, you'll see a complete picture of all of your recurring subscriptions all in one place. Rocket Money organizes your subscriptions by due date and notifies you when something is coming up, so you'll never be caught off guard when you get charged. If you see a subscription you want to cancel, Rocket Money simplifies the process. Instead of waiting on hold for an hour, you can cancel it right from the app. Rocket Money will even try to get you a refund for the money you spent on subscriptions you forgot about. Stop wasting time trying to cancel subscriptions the hard way. Make your life easier and go to rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel, or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play Stores.
Okay, it's kind of embarrassing how bad I am at budgeting.
Let me see your charges.
Fine.
You spent over $600 on takeout last month.
I can't cook. You know this.
Yes, I have had your disgusting food, but you're literally paying for a meal subscription on top of that.
Whoa, wait. That can't be right.
Look, just get Rocket Money. It shows you all of your expenses in one place and even tracks your subscriptions. And if there's a subscription you don't want, which for you, there are a lot you don't need, you can just cancel right in the app with a few taps.
So you mean I don't have to call anyone to cancel?
Nope. No hold times or anything. And they'll even try to get you a refund on some of the months of wasted money, which is a lot of money for you.
Okay.
And if you thought I was done, I'm not. The app can also help you make a budget that works for your income. Anytime you get close to your spending limits, it alerts you, so you know exactly where your money is going at all times.
All right, I'm in. What do I have to do?
Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple or Google Play Stores.
We are cycling now with Alan Anderson, whose first book, Blood, Sweat and Gears, is now in its third edition and has sold over 35,000 copies in the UK. Also the author of How to Build a Bike in a Weekend, he volunteers at a community bike workshop. His latest book is Back on Your Bike, all the stuff you need to know about to be a cyclist again. Welcome to the show, Alan.
Good morning. How are you?
Oh, I'm fine, thank you. How are you?
Very well. Cold.
Oh, yes. Have you got snow where you are?
No, we've just got frost. Everyone else has had snow and they've been ecstatic about it. But
yes.
Down here on the south coast, we're just damp and wet.
Oh, bless you. Yes, I remember that as a child, desperate for snow when other parts of the country get it and you end up with just a bit of slush. Very annoying. Yeah. So I'm guessing in the last year particularly, people have been cycling more than normal. Is that fair to say?
Yeah, it's been a huge, huge trend, massive explosion, lots of reasons behind it, I think. Obviously, no one really wants to get on the bus if they can help it in a time of COVID or on the tube. So that's been made a lot of people get the bike out of the shed. People have learned a lot more about the benefits of cycling. I think we know much more about that than we ever have before. And e-bikes have come along and they've really exploded in popularity and they give people a really easy, pain-free way to cycle around.
What are e-bikes?
So e-bikes are bikes with small electric motors and you see them more and more often. And when you see someone who doesn't look particularly athletic cycling along at a good clip without breaking sweat or heavy breathing, they're probably riding an e-bike. That's how you can tell. But they're brilliant machines, and they are, if you get an e-bike, interestingly, you actually do a lot more exercise than you do if you just get a normal bike, because you end up using it for everything, and it takes the effort out of cycling completely, but you still get the benefits of the exercise.
Do you really? How does that work, then? Surely if it's you're not using as much energy?
I think it's because people just end up using them much more. Because it is cycling without the pain, if you like. People feel that they can just hop on it and go for a 20-30 mile ride, which gives you a good deal of exercise even on an e-bike. When a 20-30 mile bike ride for a lot of people would be quite intimidating on
yes.
a normal bike.
I presume the cost is much higher, e-bikes.
Yeah, and that's certainly a factor. However, it's coming down all the time. And they, the sales have just exploded. I think in the UK they've probably doubled each year for the last 3 or 4 years. Wow. And in places on the continent, they sell nearly as many e-bikes as regular adult bikes now.
Gosh, interesting. And in terms of looking after your bike, so as an adult, if people have got bikes, as you say, they may have dusted them off and got them out the shed, and quite often they'll need a bit of sort of MOT, if you like. What yeah. kind of things should we be doing to look after our bikes so they don't need an MOT?
Before every ride, you just need to make sure that your brakes are working, which takes a few seconds. And then if they need tightening up, or if you need to change the brake shoe, which you might do once a year or once every couple of years, then those are very simple jobs. You want to keep an eye on your chain and just make sure that that's clean and not rusted up. Again, that's a very simple job, particularly if you ride often. And you want to make sure that your gears are in decent order. And again, that takes a few seconds to check. And if you need to tune gears, if you know how, it's a matter of seconds to do it, and you don't need any special tools for anything like that. So once you know the two or three things you've got to look for each time you ride, the maintenance becomes a very small issue.
And in terms of punctures, I never know whether a puncture is something that you can mend yourself, or whether you need to take it to the shop to mend, whether that's just being lazy, or are there sometimes things that you can't do yourself and it needs to be done professionally?
Oh, it's absolutely something you can do yourself. Now, whether if you want to be bending down and getting your hands dirty and messing around with an old tyre, that's up to you. A bike shop will change your tyre probably for about 5 or 10 euro, I imagine. But it's a very simple job. Just so long as you don't mind, as I say, getting your hands dirty, anyone can do it.
Okay, so there's not a situation where the puncture is particularly bad that you'd need to take it into a shop.
You might need to get a new tyre if your tyre is worn out, but most punctures don't actually destroy the tyre. They're just a tiny hole, and then so long as you fix the inner tube or replace the inner tube, then the tyre still has life in it.
Okay. There's lots of kind of etiquette that I think is really important for cyclists to know and understand. A lot of car drivers don't necessarily like cyclists, like coming yeah. across cyclists for various reasons. So it's really important to A, be aware of the rules and the laws of the road, and also be kind and aware to both drivers and pedestrians.
Absolutely. And I think it's the rules of the road actually all over the world have a good deal of protection for cyclists, and cyclists have in most places all of the rights of the car driver. I think the main thing you can do is be confident and make yourself really visible, because what people don't want, either pedestrians or car drivers, is for cyclists to sort of be squeezing between them down gutters and things like that. But if you get out into the middle of your lane where you can be, and be confident and move along at a decent speed, that's important. And obviously, don't skip red lights, because that just drives people mad when they see a cyclist just nipping through the red lights at the junction. I hate it. I drive myself as well as cycle. I hate seeing people do it. It's just so insulting, yeah. even if it's safe at that particular moment. And it really triggers a lot of drivers. But apart from that, I think it's important that everyone respects each other and obviously the rules of the road.
And in terms of fitness levels, if people haven't cycled for a very long time, they might be intimidated, thinking, oh, you know, if there's a bit of an uphill, what if I have to get off the bike and push it? And just think, you know, I mean, there's a saying, obviously, you know, you don't forget riding a bike. But people might think, if they haven't done it for years, what if they do forget? You know, how long does it take to get back into it?
Hills can be horrible, but an e-bike will get you up a hill no problem of any kind. So if you're in that situation, or if you've not ridden for 20, 30 years, then I would possibly look at an e-bike first. But on the other hand, part of the fun of cycling is feeling that you're getting fitter and stronger as you do it. Mm. It has such massive health benefits. There have been now a lot of studies that link lower mortality with cycling. There was a huge study done in Scotland which looked at mortality across all kinds of causes. And basically the single thing, if you want to live longer and live healthier and happier, the single thing you can do should be cycling, because it just improves cardiovascular health, it reduces stroke risk, reduces cancer risk, heart disease, improves your mental health, improves your mental effectiveness, etc., etc. The list just goes on. So it's worth it.
Yeah.
the first few times you climb up that hill might be a bit sweaty, but you'll get fitter and fitter as you do it.
Yeah. I'm always really impressed. I've interviewed quite a few people over the years who have done mammoth cycle rides, often for charity. And I always say to them, you know, what have you done a lot of cycling before? And so often people say, no, not much at all. And I'm like, well, how on earth do you go from not doing much cycling to doing an incredible cycle across parts of Europe? I mean, it sounds like something that would be just too challenging to take on, but apparently not.
It isn't, and I've done exactly that. I cycled from London to Warsaw in Poland.
Wow.
Once with no training at all. It's and with a lot of luggage. You just go at a speed which is comfortable. Cycling doesn't take up, if you go, you know, you don't have to go fast. You can put as much energy into it as you put into a brisk walk. And therefore, you can just pretty much carry on all day, so long as you're comfortable in the saddle. And if you do that, then the you grind out the mile, and you can do 60, 80, 100 miles in a day without any issues.
Gosh, I mean, I find it very impressive because, I mean, you mentioned being comfortable on the saddle. That is a huge, huge issue, I think. I mean, I've yeah. done a bit of cycling in my life, not massive distances, but even cycling for 2-3 hours can be really, really uncomfortable. So what yeah. are some tips on getting comfortable in the saddle?
You make sure that the saddle is the right height, because the cause of your problem, 9 times out of 10, will be your leg and your posterior rubbing on the saddle and moving across it left and right. And that will either be because the saddle is too low or because it's a little bit too high. So you want to make sure that the saddle is exactly the right height before you set out. And that will deal with a lot of problems. Padded underwear or cycling shorts they will save you a lot of pain as well. And the combination of those two things deals with it most of the time. If you're not riding 50 or 60 miles, then there's no reason to get saddle sore, so long as your saddle is the right height.
Okay, and what is the right height? How do you know what that is exactly?
Well, it's much easier to show you with a picture, but essentially if you're on the bike, sitting on the saddle, then you should be able to put your heel on the lower pedal and straighten your leg completely. So you normally cycle with the ball of your foot on the pedal, but if you put your heel on the pedal, straighten your leg all the way down, then that, and you're sat squarely on the saddle, that should be about the right height.
Okay.
And it's higher. It is higher than you think it is. And when you're not on the bike, you'll have your hand resting on the saddle, and you think, "Wow, that's way above the top of my legs." But in fact, if it's nice and high like that, then your leg won't move, or rather, your bum won't move left and right across the saddle, and that is the cause of a lot of pain.
Yeah,
and it will also mean that the muscles in your leg stretch out nicely with each rotation. And again, if your knees and your legs are uncomfortable from cycling, it's probably because your saddle is too low.
Okay, that is an excellent tip. I'm going to adjust my bike accordingly. Alan, thanks very much for joining us. Lovely to chat with you. And if listeners want to get a copy of your latest book, it is available on our website, tre.radio. It's called Back on Your Bike, All the Stuff You Need to Know to Be a Cyclist Again. It's by Alan Anderson. Alan, thanks very much for joining us.
Thank you. Have a wonderful day.
You too. Bye-bye.
Marriott Bonvoy is the official hotel partner of US Soccer. Join Marriott Bonvoy today to get closer to the game with exclusive perks, unforgettable experiences, and benefits that go beyond the pitch. Spring Hill Suites, part of Marriott Bonvoy, offers complimentary hot breakfast and spacious all-suite accommodations, perfect for the whole team, with room for up to 6 guests. Make your next getaway a win. Learn more at springhillsuites.marriott.com.